Hello, everyone, and welcome to a show that is not 3 Happy Hour, because I guess Jordan technically ended that show on Monday night. But we are here, the LFC, with minus Alex, to talk about this special eviction, special Wednesday night eviction. The Queen is dead, and we've got to talk about it. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong. I am joined by a man who has fallen in love with the roasting abilities of my Ninja Warrior co-host, Lita Brillman. It's Brent Walgemont. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. See, I live my life like way out in the open. And so I'm inherently more easy to roast than other people who I basically know nothing about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, on RuPaul's Drag Race, I made the mistake of telling my co-host that we should roast each other, not realizing I was completely the most roastable person there. And by the way, in case you're wondering, I am in Disney World right now. That's why I had this hat on. It's the happiest place on earth. Not so much, though, because my Wi-Fi with Disney not really working. So I'm using my phone as my hotspot. So that's what I'm working with you guys tonight. I'm probably going to be a little bit blurry, but hopefully you can still hear me.
Yeah, yes. And I'm in London at the moment.
Yeah, 3 a.m.
Yes, it is 3:23 a.m. in London right now. So this could be a disaster of a show. Bad timing for the end of
really could
Canada.
Be.
Hopefully yeah. Things work out. I am also here with a woman who is the queen of finding periscoped streams of Big Brother Canada 5. It's Melissa Denny. How you doing?
Yeah, apparently I've had to become very good at that, considering that the streams have been cutting out for me for like it's only though when I'm podcasting. When I have to podcast about an episode, I can't watch it at all. But when I don't have to podcast about it, I can just like casually watch it. It's totally fine. The streams work great. But they have not been working and I've been dying. So thank you to Primal Instinct, who's usually in the chat room. He had a periscope going on and it was very, very useful because I missed like maybe like 70% of the episode at this point.
And by the way, I would also like to add that for tomorrow night, which the show starts at 7 o'clock, the episode, I should say, Big Brother Canada 5 starts tomorrow at 7 o'clock. If the streams are really bad on Hamster's Watch, it would be helpful if people on Periscope like tweeted out their links and said you could watch it here, because
yes, please,
Melissa
somebody
and I,
Periscope it.
Yeah, please help.
All right. So, yes, please help us out if you can for tomorrow night. Hopefully that can be all sorted out. We have the chat room open live on robhasawebsite.com, and you can send in questions to me at Armstrong Taryn if you want them read on the show. I haven't really been able to prepare any, so that'll be a fun segment as I read through them on the podcast. But let's talk about this. Headline of the night, we lost Aika Wong. And that was sad. That was a sad moment. Brent, how are you responding to this?
Well, obviously, you know, if you follow the live feeds, we knew Aika was most likely gone on 99% gone Saturday when we found out that Kevin won the final for a veto. And then we knew that she was 100% gone after Hamster's Watch tweeted that she had indeed been evicted. So I've had a couple of days to process this. And, you know, it's very, very much like Cass last year with Cass and Tim. Down the stretch, Cass could just not win a competition. Famously, she had to have her dad come in and help her win a competition. I'm sure Aika would have liked that, to have somebody please come in and help her win a competition. She couldn't do it, and I was sad to see her go.
Yeah, and I mean, I personally thought she went out so well, like saying she respects Kevin's game. Yeah. She really wants to vote for the best player. She promises that's what she's going to do. And it hit me watching Dimitri cry. That hit me. did it for you too, Melissa?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like the whole game, Dimitri's has been very stoic and strong. And anytime Aika's been emotional, he's been very calm, cool and collected, just trying to bring her back down. And then she leaves and he just turns into a ball of mush. It's so sad. It definitely got to me too. And I do think that Aika went out in such a great way. Just, you know, so classy. And because that could have gone, you know, any which way. She could have said certain things. I mean, I didn't think she was going to, but, you know, sometimes people choose that moment to, you know, kind of make their mark when they're walking out the door. And I was so glad that she just kind of was like, hey, guys, it's a game. Like, great job. Everyone played really well, you know, and just went out total class.
I will say this, though, that I didn't love the fact that when Kevin gave her an opening, she didn't take it. Not that he was ever probably going to change his mind, but Kevin is an emotional player when it comes to moves. He likes to make big TV. And, you know, he said, well, you know, taking you out now is a bitch move. She sort of said, yeah, it is kind of a bitch move. But no, she did not say that. She said, no, it's not a bitch move, which is please evict me. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, he gave you an opening there. You know, he obviously feels a little bit self-conscious about this. Use that. Again, I don't think it would have worked, but I'm going to nail her a little bit for not trying a little bit harder there or not realizing she might have had an opening.
This was like the same situation when she was saying, okay, well, when I leave, you know, you, Demetrius and Kevin, you guys should pair up. Like, I totally get it if you're going to vote me out, but you guys should pair up. Like, she was basically giving the go ahead to vote her out. She keeps doing that. She needs to stop. She needs to just like selfishly tell them what she should, what in order to make her stay, she should say whatever she needs to say and not try and be nice about it.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, give the impression that we're criticizing Aika for not being able to get out of a situation. I think it was very, very difficult for her to get out of. However, I did think that when she was talking about Kevin saying that he really, really cares about being seen as a good player and she needed to feed his ego, I felt like that was a misread on Kevin, don't you think? Because Kevin has always been very vocal about the fact that he's not a great player. I think the route to get to Kevin is to act like, no, there's something you haven't thought of yet. There's there's another secret move, and this is actually going to be really great for you. I'm not sure that the route she took was the best one because, Kevin, I don't think Kevin cares if it's a bitch move. I think he cares if it's the right move. And if it's the right move, he'll do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think he cares if it's the bitch move. I don't think he cares that if she's trying to say, you know, what's the right move or not. Because, you know, I said, I feel like his weakness is that he wants to make big moves and be sexy TV. And I feel like that was her best path. Like once she starts going down the, you know, is this the right move or not? Or you want to be seen as the best player. I don't think that really appeals to him. I feel like there are other things that appeal to Kevin more than that. And that was a bit of a misread on her part.
Yeah, like if Aika goes to Kevin and says, okay, I was thinking all night and I came up with this crazy scheme. You save me and, you know, I take you to the final two. Demetrius, he's been pissing me off, like stage of fight, anything. But like I said, this was not a situation she was going to get out of anyway.
Right. I think there was one more way she could have said, you know what, for the fans of Big Brother, it's a disservice to them to keep somebody like Karen in the game. Like really you're doing a disservice to the game, to the producers and to the fans as a whole to keep somebody like Karen in the game. If you do that, you'll be seen as a bitch. Like that's what she should have said. I think that might've worked, but it's a moot point now.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if it would have worked because, you know, especially when you look back to right, like Big Brother Canada to like it's always considered to be like the worst move. Like, I mean, look at Cody, look at, you know, John Party. It's considered to be the worst move of all time to not take the weak player with you. And nobody wants to be that like that dumb, right? Like even if you were like, oh, you have to respect the game, nobody's going to respect you for respecting the game. So it's hard to make that case.
Well, I agree with you to a certain extent, but I feel like that the reason like people dog on Cody is because Cody really thought he could win the game against Derek. Like if you go to the end and say, well, I don't know, maybe I win the game, maybe I can't, but I just refuse on my personal integrity and my love for the game to take somebody like Karen to the end of the game. I absolutely refuse to allow her to get second place money over my dead body. Will that happen? I want to make sure that the fans have a good time at the end of the game. I feel like at that point, people would be behind you and not really dog you, not even mine. But I feel like most of us be like, okay, I can respect that, you know?
I don't know. I feel like people dog on Wu, and I feel like Wu felt like he had to bring the better person. And I think, you know, if Kevin makes this move, it's because he still thinks he can beat Aika. And then if he takes Aika and loses against her again, I think he's considered to be one of the worst, you know, dumbest moves of all time.
Yeah. It would have been like, he could have taken Karen and look what he chose.
Exactly. So that's it. Aika comes out of the house and Arissa tells her, you went in, you were already iconic, you were already amazing, but now people are saying you are one of the best players ever. I thought that was interesting. Given that she's a juror, that seems like a lot of information, don't you think, Melissa?
I thought it was a lot of information and I was kind of surprised that she said that, but I was also really happy that she said that because I liked seeing Aika have some sort of joy out of her getting kicked out. And I felt like she went out of the house. She didn't get to hear any sort of crowd reaction. So she has no idea how people are taking her. So she could potentially think like, everybody hates me. Who knows? I have no idea. At least Arista gave her kind of like a little smidgen of information that I don't really think is going to affect the game. Cause I think Aika already was thinking she played a great game. So I don't think she's going to be shocked by this information, but I do think that it gave her a little bit of an ego boost and maybe made her feel a little bit better about getting kicked out.
Yeah, Arista didn't tell her anything that she doesn't already know. She already knows that she played one of the most amazing games that Big Brother Canada has ever seen, just by the fact that she and Dimitris were on the block twice, and both times they managed to survive. And she was also on the block by herself and managed to avoid eviction there when she was a clear and obvious jury threat. So, I mean, I think that in and of itself is enough to tell Aika herself that, wow, I really played balls out this time. And on the first double eviction, what I wanted to happen happened. Like, I got my way each and every time. The only time I didn't get my way in this house was at the end when there was one person voting and I couldn't win a competition. That's the only time I didn't get my way.
I don't know if I agree with that, that was the only time, but I do want to talk about this jury segment where Dylan comes into the house and reveals the move that Kevin made to put him on the block. And I thought the reaction to this was pretty amazing.
What was the reaction? Because my stream cut out.
Well, I saw it. Bruno was, of course, everyone was a little, they were like, okay, so Dimitri won the veto. And
yeah.
Dylan's like, no, Kevin won the veto. And they were like, huh? But then it almost seemed like there was a little bit of like, they had fed them some information here. Maybe a lot of time had passed and they had been able to figure this out, because Bruno eventually deduced the correct reasoning that Kevin had used in trying to use the veto on Aika, because Bruno was saying Kevin was probably afraid that they were going to vote out Aika. He wanted Dimitri's gone. He wanted to put two big players up on the block. Again, that part really wasn't in Kevin's vocabulary. It wasn't like, I'm going to put two big players up on the block and hope one of them goes home. No, he wanted to put Dylan up on the block, Dimitri's goes home. That was his real thought there. So I thought that was interesting. And again, it did seem to me like that the people who are very pro Kevin and, well, I won't say that because that's vulgar, but I just feel like that some people have been very easy on Kevin. And I feel like, again, here it was Bruno saying, kind of waving it away, like, you know, well, you know, I understood why he did it. And, again, he has to beat Dimitris three times down the line here because of that bonehead move he made. So if he doesn't do it on the third time, he's gonna have to look back at that and own that shit, because that was his move.
Well, I think it's interesting because it almost reminds me of what happened with Nicole, where Nicole had very little relationships with a lot of the people in the jury, and it was sort of because of that they almost in some ways assumed her game was better than it was. And I think that's maybe the case here with Kevin, where because Kevin doesn't have any allies to explain why he was doing what he was doing, nobody in that house knows what we know, which is that his plan was that he thought 100% this was going to send Dimitri out the door and that this was the best way to do it. So when I imagine Dylan tells them, yeah, what happened was Karen and I went to Kevin and told him that we were going to vote out Aika. And so Bruno imagines, okay, so a smart player would then think that my only move is to make sure that one of them, either Dylan or Dimitris, goes home to ensure that, you know, at least one of those competitors is gone when I can't guarantee the vote. And then Netta, of course, then also says, I get where he's coming from, but there was a better move, which is, I imagine she has deduced, was putting up Karen. But obviously they can't see how poorly of a read he had, because he didn't talk to anyone about it. He's all alone in that house. So they don't see.
And whose fault is that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's his fault. Oh, never mind.
Right.
Sorry.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's like, again,
I know.
The way that jury management works is very interesting sometimes, because failings can turn into positives.
So let's talk about a positive. It looks like they are going to take a page out of the Taryn Armstrong book, although I'm sure it's not the amount of time that you wished it was, and allow each of the final four to tape a 1-minute message to the jury and explain their game. First of all, I don't understand why it has to be one flipping minute. I mean, 1 minute, are you kidding? Like, yeah. I could talk 1 minute without taking a breath. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I mean, at least give them 3 minutes. Look, what are they doing over there in jury? They're doing nothing. Okay, give him 3 minutes to say, okay, this is my game. You know, this is exactly how I see the game. I don't understand.
Especially because they still edited it. Like, they didn't show the full 1 minute unedited.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is if they show the jury the unedited version, then for the show, they should have just like,
Right. I'm sure the jury saw the full minute, but like, like you said, like the jury has all the time in the world. Why not tell them, here's 10 minutes and we'll cut it down to a 30-second clip?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, exactly. Well, some people on Twitter were saying, you know, Brent, I hope you drag Bruno for how terrible he's acting. But unfortunately, this is where my stream cut out. So, Taryn, please tell me what happened here.
I Bruno was actually not that bad. When he talked about Dimitri. Okay. So after Dimitri talked, Bruno was saying he was unimpressed with Dimitri's speech. He felt like he didn't do anything to countered the idea that he was somebody's lapdog. He just said, I wasn't Ika's lapdog. He was like, prove it to us. Say you're going to cut Ika. Say you're going to do something to prove that you aren't her lapdog. And he was disappointed.
Well, number one, Bruno's tongue is too far up Kevin Martin's ass. Number two, obviously, Dimitris is not going to cut Ika because that would be in his strategic interest, Bruno. And if you had half a brain, you would probably know that.
Oh, also, God. I like Dimitri's speech. I thought Dimitri's did a good job. I was impressed by the way he was, you know, so well spoken and could, you know, explain all the various comps he won and all the various times he got himself off the block and then became HOH right afterwards. I mean, I was impressed.
I mean, I think the thinking in terms of cutting Ika is like if he takes Ika over Karen, I think that is a mistake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they don't know that. And why would they think that? This is something
because
that
was, with Dylan gone, they know that Karen is a guaranteed lock for Final Three. So she's going to be an option.
Right. I know. But what I'm saying is that they don't know that in the end, he might ultimately choose to take Karen to the end over Ika. I mean, you know, for them to want him to do it this soon and say, well, show us you can evict Ika. I'm like, it wouldn't be in his strategic interest to evict her at the final five or the final.
Oh, no. He was I think he was referring to like
prove later on
cut Ika at the end. Yeah. Like what John did to Netta. Because I think that's a really big sentence. Like the fact that Netta is in that jury and John made that move, like, I think that's a huge factor. It would have been a huge factor if Ika and Dimitri were
right.
Both.
It's a moot point now, but I would have loved to see Ika and Dimitri's take each other and just be give a big F you to the jury and say, you got to vote for one of us. Girl, bye. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Also, with Dimitri's, I don't know. I don't. It was kind of cutting out for me, too. So I didn't quite catch everything, but it sounded like he said he won 4 HOHs. I could be wrong about that, but that's really underselling the fact. Like, he should be saying, I won a record-breaking 5 HOHs.
Right. I'm sure he's going to be corrected on that by the producers if he hasn't been already. But for it, maybe he's not counting the one where he was the sole vote to evict Gary. Maybe that just feels like a veto to him, and it was kind of like a veto, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe could they have recorded this before he won the HOH, maybe, I guess?
That's a possibility. Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
Is Melissa, you're still there, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just looking at the chat. We're trying to see how people are trying to explain it because they were saying that it was filmed before he won his fifth. It was filmed right after Dylan's eviction, is what people are saying. So
sounds good. You're sorry. I was watching the bottom of the screen and you looked really frozen. So
I was definitely frozen. Okay. I was frozen, but just like staring at something else, frozen in space.
Okay, so that's good to know. So at least, you know, I mean, not that he needs it at this point, because again, I don't think any of this matters. I don't think Karen has a chance, but we should talk about the fact that Karen gave, you know, in her video, she essentially said, week one, I latched onto Ika and Dimitri's and I carried them this whole game. To the
end.
It
was exactly what we said she was going to say. We were like, she's going to get to the final two and be like, I fooled you all. This was my plan all along since day one. Like, it's exactly what we thought.
Yeah. It's like, I was laughing at this, but then we get Netta saying, you know, I was actually kind of impressed by Karen's video.
I just, you know that they're doing that for like TV because you remember how Nicole would always be like, maybe we should evict so-and-so. And then Corey's like, wait, what? Why would you say that? We were just going to evict the other guy. And she's like, no, I'm just for the TV. We need to have like options so that they can use options. And it's totally that. I just know it. There's no way that they were like, wow, that speech swayed me. Like, I don't believe it for a second.
It's great because we talked about these Karen fans that we have in the chat room, and they're still in, like, they still watch every show in the chat room, and they're like, see, I told you they dismiss it. I told you they dismiss the Karen love.
Well,
it's so ridiculous.
Can I just take the floor for a second and tell you guys that and by the way, tell me if my Wi-Fi cuts out, because I don't want to like keep talking to myself and just be like, you know, basically listening to myself talk. I listened to Alex on the round table that we did, and you know, he said that some fans had accused us of ageism when it comes to Karen, and I that had bothered me a little bit at the time. And then, you know, we sort of talked about it a little bit, and then we sort of, you know, brushed it away like it wasn't really an option, because it all comes back to this Final Five move that she made to get rid of Dylan. Things. Number one, we're omniscient, okay? How is Karen supposed to know that that she's supposed to not evict Dylan there? I mean, why? It seems like she, from Karen's point of view, in this instance, she should want to keep Dimitri's in the game because of one reason. Her bitter rival, Kevin Martin, is a major jury threat. And because they're bitter rivals, she might perceive that he is never, ever, ever going to take her to the end of the game. So why in the world would she want to make his path easier if that makes her path to getting to the end harder? Additionally, I'm sure you're saying to yourself, well, why would she want to keep in Dimitri's and Aika, obviously going to the end? If Dimitri's is successful in beating Kevin at the Final Four veto and getting rid of Kevin Martin, who is probably not going to take Karen to the end, again, from her perception, not from ours, which is omniscient about, we know how players in the game are thinking. If she goes to the end with Dimitris and Aika, who's to say that they're going to take her? I mean, John was the one who got rid of Ned at the end of Big Brother 2. I mean, going to the end with a showmance isn't necessarily a bad position, especially if you consider the fact that Cindy was the one who told Dimitris that he was a lapdog and he needed to do something to get out from under Ika's shadow. So, I mean, these are all things that, again, I just want to be fair to Karen here. And I feel like we're not being fair. We're just kind of laughing about it, which is fine. You guys can laugh about it if you want. But the fact remains that, you know, Kevin was HOH twice. Karen was HOH once. Karen got out of target. Kevin never has. Okay. He has been completely and utterly devoid of strategy. Whenever he was HOH, he has not ever been able to get out of target. His HOHs have boiled down to safety. He also entered the game as somebody who was a vet, played the game before, and had a built-in alliance of people from his season around him. And he was also the beneficiary, through no strategic planning of his own, when he was saying, please don't use the veto on me, of one of the biggest strategic twists in the game when William used the secret veto on him. I say all this to say that it is not such a cut and dry case when it comes to Karen versus Kevin. I think a lot of it is to a little bit of sexism and a lot of ageism in play when it comes to evaluating Karen's game on the merits. The only thing that is impressive about Kevin's game are his competitions, but do you really want to award somebody who that has that much of a one-dimensional game? I mean, from a strategy point of view, it's not impressive. And socially, the only person who he had who wasn't one of his built-in alliance partners was William. I think that's a pretty big indictment of his game. You can, again, see, this is the thing, you can laugh, but please rebut me.
I mean, there's a lot to rebut.
Actually, you know what, I hear too much of you already. Just Melissa, go ahead and rebut.
No, I mean, like, I'm not saying that I dislike Karen or that I think that Karen is a horrible player by any means. I don't think Karen is a horrible player. I think that Karen hasn't done anything. I mean, everyone's like, she had a great speech to the jury. Yeah, but it's all made up. It's all in her head. She wasn't controlling the game. Like she says, she wasn't controlling it since day one. Like, she acts as if, like, day one, she was HOH. She was able to read the whole house for the whole, like, game, go moving forward to determine who she's going to work with, who she's not going to. I mean, come on. Like, she just sat around the whole time. I mean, she had these crazy theories and she was fun to watch. And like, I loved her in the game, and don't get me wrong, but I do not think that anything she did was strategic in a good way. I just think that everything she did was, you know, talking about these crazy theories she had, or making funny quips, or even not so funny quips where she's just like being mean to Kevin. And I'm not saying that Kevin is like this amazing player, you know, bow down to him. He made so many mistakes in the game, but at least he was playing. At least he was a big part of the game for the majority of the game. She was a peripheral player for most of the game.
Yeah,
I would submit that Kevin was the peripheral player for the first part of the game. I mean, he didn't win any competitions then, unlike Karen, who actually did win an HOH. He didn't win anything for the first part, an HOH for the first part of the game. And I never really heard anything from Kevin, at least until we got to the jury segment point. I mean, he was just...
I mean,
he was in alliances. Yeah. He was in alliances.
An alliance that was handed to him when he walked into the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, Aika was also handed that. Are we discrediting Aika for being a part of the six?
Like, yeah.
She wasn't a huge target going in,
and he used his connections to keep himself safe. And like, I don't want to defend Kevin's game. It hasn't been very good.
No.
But to say that Karen has played this, We're killing Kevin for this move to use the veto on Aika and put up Dylan, even though it was a better outcome than not using the veto at all because of how terrible a read it was. Karen's read was way worse. The idea that this could have been better for her to vote out Dylan is really, really bad. It's a really, really bad read. You mentioned yourself, Aika and Dimitri's would have taken each other. We're pretty sure about that. And even if they hadn't, Karen is not going to beat either of them. Karen is not going to beat Kevin. Karen might have been able to beat Dylan. Maybe, who knows? And Dylan is the only person who is like going to take her apart from Kevin. So you're either going to be taken by Kevin or Dylan, or you're leaving the pair in the house that are going to take each other. And I mean, again, we're talking about the person who, when she was put up on the block as a pawn by her closest allies, she thought this might as well be an instant eviction. There's this huge plot against, like, she has had a wrong read on the house for most of the game. And the fact that she's here, like, it's only because of how bad she is at the game.
It's only because of how terrible everyone sees her is that they're thinking there's no way she could win. It's a waste of a week to get her out. And that is absolutely a game to play. That is a game to play is to sit around and do nothing and be dragged to the end. Not saying that she was dragged to the end, but I'm just saying that you sit around, you do nothing. You purposely make yourself look like a non-threat so that way you get taken to the end. So that way you can be in the final two. You're not necessarily going to win, but you're in final two. And some people are like, okay with that. That's an absolutely like acceptable game to play. But I don't think that she was secretly in her mind playing this entirely different game that we didn't see any of it because it was all in her head. I don't see her having this whole mastermind thing going on. I don't think that she's this horrible player and that she, you know, made a ton of mistakes and that she's the worst player of all time. Like, well, she doesn't deserve to be here. No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that she's fun to watch. She was great. She was great TV. She was great the whole way through. But I don't think that she was playing a great game. I don't think she's playing a good strategic game.
Right. And like, you can play this game where you are seen as a joke and nobody targets you. Like we said early on in the season, people were talking about like, isn't it annoying that Karen is going to be in the final two? Isn't it annoying that that's going to happen? We know it's going to happen, but it's going to happen because she's such a non-entity. Godfrey used this strategy. He knew what he was doing as he was doing it. And even then, he was unable to articulate it to the jury and was unable to get a jury vote. This strategy only works if you win in the end. And I don't see that happening. We absolutely would need to reevaluate Karen's game if she ends up winning. I think a lot of that would probably be through luck because, again, that move at the final five is just really, really bad and it puts her in a really, really bad spot. But if she's able to win over the respect of the jury, then there's a lot of reevaluation that we have to do, obviously. But I don't see that happening.
Okay, I haven't had a word in the last like 4 minutes, so I just want to say something really quickly. I just feel like that some of the things that we're killing Karen for are things that are omniscient, things that we know, who she should know who beats who in the end. I mean, you know, we're seeing the jury, so we know who had things highly.
This is coming from you. For saying that people. It was
Karen for the sentence here these days. Okay. If I killed you for it, then obviously you must be arguing my point here then. Look, I'm just saying that the things that I'm killing Kevin for are the things within the game that he should be able to read himself. The things that I feel like you're killing Karen for now. Again, I'm not referring to her, whatever she said in this 1 minute video, because I didn't honestly that my stream cut out and I did not see that. So I don't know how bad it was. I'm trying to argue the best case for Karen here. I'm not trying to argue whatever case she's trying to argue because apparently that's not the best one.
Well, of course it isn't because she like, like you're arguing a game that she didn't play.
I think I argued the game that she played. She's the 53-year-old mom with bad knees, came to the house without an alliance, wasn't the beneficiary of a twist like Kevin, who didn't have a built-in alliance like Kevin, who got to the end on the value of her game and non-competitions. If Kevin didn't win a competition from the final nine on, he would have been out. So that tells me something about his strategic and social acumen.
You can say the exact same thing about Victoria.
Yeah, I don't think we necessarily need to be arguing like Karen or Kevin, which one's better. That's not even like the question. The question is Karen playing this strategic game that she seems to think that she's playing, or is she not? And I don't necessarily think Kevin is this amazing player. I just don't think that Karen is an amazing player.
I feel like it's somewhere in between. I really do. I feel like it is not the parody that we are trying to make her right now. It is not that we're all laughing at her again. Like, it's not that. I want to give her a little bit more respect than that. It's not often that they cast 53-year-olds on a reality show, so I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt here. Obviously, the things that she was thinking in her mind at the time made sense, and it got her to the end of the game. And again, I know you guys are killing her for the final five move, but again, how is she supposed to know that Kevin Robert Martin is going to take her to the end of the game when they have been bitter rivals the entire time? How is she supposed to know that? It seems better like her move might be to keep Demetrius in the game so he can get rid of Kevin, her arch rival, and then go to the end of the game with the showmans, who hopefully at that point will wake up and smell the coffee and take her to the end of the game rather than their own partner, just like John did to Netta and Big Brother Canada 2. I rest my case, girl, bye.
But I just want to be clear, like, I'm not laughing at Karen's game. I'm not laughing at Karen for playing. I'm laughing at Karen's speech. I'm laughing at Karen's speech because it's just like this completely different version of events than what actually occurred. But the thing is, though, is if she can convince the jury that that's true, if she can convince the jury, if then they completely believe that she was this mastermind, that she had this whole thing lined up since day one when she won HOH and she saw the game all the pieces fell into place until the end. I mean, then great. And the jury believes it. And she wins, that is amazing, because that's great persuasive ability. That's fantastic.
Okay, I will say really quickly that the reason that there's a disconnect between the two of us right now, because I feel like Melissa and I are usually on the same wavelength, is because I didn't see the 1 minute video and you did. So that's why you're so incredulous right now. And I didn't see what she was saying, so I'm not all aghast at it right now.
Yeah, it was mainly her speech that is making me feel this way, because if she had, I just saw her say stuff that just didn't ring true at all.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of like
really quickly
off.
Too. I just want to give credit to a couple of people. James, I forget his Twitter handle, and Stina Nitz are the two people that I went to, because like I said, I just wanted to give, you know, look, I'm like Fox here. I'm like fair and balanced coverage. Okay. I'm trying.
Where's the fair and balanced coverage for Kevin then? I feel like you're totally, I'll let you finish.
I feel like that you, Alex, and the rest of the Big Brother alumni who have their tongues up his ass right now do a great job of telling us Kevin's game. So I really don't need to do that. Okay.
Again, if Karen was explaining her game in the way that you were, I would also be explaining it in the way that you were. But you are coming up with something that not even Karen is articulating.
Well, she needs to wake up. I need to use my telepathy to help her out here.
But that's the point. She can't, because she hasn't been thinking in those terms. She's been playing an entirely different game than what you're talking about. And okay, in that video, she claimed that she dragged Aika and Demetrius to the final.
Which is just insane.
Well, she kind of did at the final five, but that's besides the point. Okay, cool. Go ahead. I'm good.
and also you talked about, like, you know, how can she read things that are in the jury? But you talked about how she was reading things wrong in the house, which is again what you killed Kevin for. But you're giving credit to Karen.
I have killed Karen when she has read things wrong in the house. I just don't think that she should be able to expect it to be a fortune teller and realize how jurors are going to vote. I mean, you can just give your best guess.
That's not what you were talking about. You were talking about in the house. She thought that how is she supposed to know that Kevin's going to take her? Because she's obviously Kevin's going to take her. That's the fact. How is she supposed to know that Aika and Demetrius won't cut each other? Because they're not going to cut each other. And that's in the house. That's information that Kevin should have known. And that's information that Karen should have known.
Well, again, I'm trying to make a final two speech, if you can call it that, or a proposal from Karen's point of view, that this is probably the best way to go about it. But, you know, obviously she has said things that I did not hear in the stream, because my stream is cutting out, that is just driving the two of you wacko. And I mean, I don't mean you're wacko. I just mean that, you know, obviously if I had heard it, I probably would be tearing my hair out as well, because it's stuff that probably really didn't happen, but it's in her head. And so by definition to her, it really did happen. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't make it true. And I like, if what you're saying is that what the case that you made is the case that she should make to the jury, I completely agree. If she made that case and she won the jury over, I would think that's very impressive. I do not see her making that case because, again, what we saw in the video, what we've seen from her in the house the entire time just doesn't.
I agree. By the way, I really want to say this quickly because I don't know if I'll remember. The thing I've heard Rob say the most is that, you know, Karen should really go to the final two and say that, you know, I've been the honest one this entire time. Kevin has left his morals at the door. He's the liar. I don't feel like that would play at all with this jury. Like, I do not feel like that's the way to go. Like, I mean, you have to make sure that you go about it in a different way. I mean, because I feel like there are instances when Karen did lie. Number one, and number two, and the jury is going to be aware of those instances. And number two, I feel like the jury will respect Kevin for having left his morals at the door. And if you wonder why my volume came down all of a sudden, it's because my niece and nephew have gone to sleep and I'm trying to be courteous.
Yeah. The reason you're not getting the regular boisterous Brent is
right. Right. And it's killing me right now.
No, everybody's
he really
thinking,
wants to yell at me.
It's everybody's thinking in the chat that you're doing this on purpose to like be like the calm one. Like, you know, in 30 Rock when Alec Baldwin is like, in order to win a debate or like in order to win a negotiation, you speak quieter than the other person. And that's like what everyone's thinking you're doing right now.
That's
They're
hilarious.
Like, wow, Brent's like quietly like tearing them apart.
And I do want to say, in terms of like, you know, I laughed because what you were saying to me was, again, not what Karen is, what's not what's in Karen's head. The idea that it's true is laughable to me, but I don't think Karen is laughable. I do think I have a lot of respect for who Karen is in the game. And I'm definitely impressed with where she's gone in the game because, listen, I love watching people just like have no morals. And Karen has had very little, like what she did to Dylan was fantastic to watch.
It really was.
I think it was a terrible move, but the fact that Dylan was like, she is my new Emily, I put all of my trust in her, and she just took that and just like slit his throat. I loved it. And
she still has his vote. Like, he will not vote for Kevin. He said he will vote for the couch before he votes for Kevin. So
right.
I mean, like, the fact he was able to vote him out and still maintain his jury vote, that is just mind-boggling to me.
Right. I think the reason why we don't talk about this is because like the move was so bad that these positives don't really outweigh that at all. But I think you're completely right. The fact that she was able to use this crazy excuse that like, oh, I'm only voting you out because Kevin is going to do it anyway. And I don't want to give him a satisfaction. Yeah. The fact that that worked is insane.
That was so good.
It's insane.
She's like, we can't give Kevin the satisfaction of letting him vote you out. So we need to do it together. Mainly, I need to do it.
Yeah,
and he's like, "You're right."
Yeah, we were in the audience.
We're putting it to him. We're showing Kevin.
We were in the audience, and Dylan's family was sitting in front of us, and they were like, they were booing Karen. They were like, "This is awful. Yeah. What she's doing." Yeah, they were not happy with Karen.
Oh my God.
But Dylan comes out and he's talking about, you know, being mad at Kevin and his family was not mad at Kevin. Like, it's an entirely warped perspective. And that's a really, you know, again, like, I enjoyed watching that.
I can't imagine they were happy with Kevin because.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they were like, but they were like a pox on both your houses, like you and Karen are both idiots. And why, that's the only reason my son went out was because, you know, Kevin, you're an idiot and Karen, you're an idiot.
Yes. And again, like I really don't think Karen has a chance to win this game. But what we saw from her, even though it was a bad move with Dylan and with, you know, some of the other stuff, like she has definitely, you know, made moves. I think they were bad moves. It's like, it's kind of like maybe like Sugar in Survivor, where it was like she was making really bad moves for herself, but she was making a lot of moves. And I love the fact that Karen is so willing to play the game, even if it is poorly.
Right. She's probably the biggest player in the game, or one of the biggest players in the game, but she's not necessarily the best player in the game is what you're trying to say. And I don't think so either. I've always believed that Aika was the best player in the game. And now that it's down to the three of these people, My heart is rooting for Dimitris at this point. I really do feel like he's probably had a better strategic hold on the game as a whole. But I'm not going to boohoo if Kevin ends up winning. But I do feel like there are some major flaws in his game, and even some ones that his fans won't recognize.
Yeah, I also just want to say that this isn't sexism or ageism, the fact that we're thinking that Karen is not the strategic mastermind. I mean, like, there's no way this is sexism. I mean, we are praising Aika, we're praising, you know, other females. Like, I don't see this being sexism at all. And ageism, if anything, that makes me like Karen a lot more, because I feel like she's able to, you know, go across these like barriers that could potentially have held her back and have definitely held back previous older contestants. And I think that I've been wanting an older contestant to make it far in the game for a very long time. So I do not think that this has anything to do with her age or her sex, for the reason that we are not singing her praises.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't like when Bruno says, and I think it was to Kevin and Netta, where it was literally week three. And he said to them, you know, isn't it terrible that Karen's going to make it to the game? I'm like, well, so you're already discounting her at this point. I mean, she's barely met you and you're already discounting her as a viable winner, because you're saying, isn't it terrible that she's going to make it to the end of the game? And, you know, the subtext of that is, I would never vote for her. You know, she's completely useless. Again, yeah. It's two and a half weeks into the game at that point. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty big indictment on them. I'm not indicting either one of you, because I don't think either one of you has been sexist or ageist, but I do feel like there are people on Twitter and a few people in the house that are probably guilty of it at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that people discount older players immediately. I mean, because every season before, I mean, I think it also has to do with the fact that every season before this, the older player gets out like first or second, except for like maybe Donnie. And so the older player immediately gets out. So you automatically assume, you know, well, that person's going to get out pretty quick. We don't really have to worry about them. And so it's nice to see someone finally flip that on its head and make it to the end.
Someone in the chat says, soft-spoken Brent freaks me out. the response to Karen's video, you know, Melissa, you said that you feel like this was just, you know, being played up for TV time, but what if anyone else's stream cut out, what Netta said was that she was impressed by the details that Karen gave, and you know, this was impressive to her. And Bruno followed that up with like, I agree, I'm really looking forward to seeing her explanation as to how she carried Ike and Dimitris, which I think was a way of saying, I don't believe her, but if she explains it properly, then maybe. Brent, do you feel like, especially with Netta, do you feel like this was just for the cameras, or was maybe Netta saying that maybe she'd vote for Karen over somebody like Dimitris?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, obviously she doesn't have a lot of love for Dimitris. Look, I think in any scenario, we know that Netta is going to vote for Kevin. This is only applicable if it's Dimitris versus Karen. I think she's probably looking for a reason to vote against Dimitris because he represents a lot of the things that she doesn't like in a Big Brother contestant. He's like the alpha bro, you know, who got to, and obviously he's not a bro. He's much more fun than that. He's not a douche canoe, right? He's much more fun, but, you know, Netta may not see him that way because he didn't really have a whole lot of interactions with Netta. Again, that's probably his fault. He was hanging out with Aika a lot, but I just think that she's looking for reasons to make it a more even contest between Dimitris and Karen. And I also think that there's still an element, like you've talked about this before, Taryn, how Netta doesn't want to be seen as the villain in the jury. The jury tape from a couple of days ago that came out, I didn't love that because I felt like she was a little bit of a mean girl on that. But if she, you know, is saying to the public, look, I'm willing to vote for Karen, you know, if she played the better game, I think she's probably smart enough to figure out that Karen's probably pretty popular. You know, Netta's a Big Brother historian, she knows that Jerry was hugely popular on Big Brother 10. So, you know, if, you know, the kooky old person who gets to the end of the game, the public loves that person. So she doesn't want to like openly discredit that person if she can. And plus, like I said, she's not a fan of Dimitri based on what happened when she was evicted on the first double eviction night.
Yeah, I love it. I really feel like Netta is playing a better jury game than she played, unfortunately, in the house this season. By the way,
can I please throw shade on her and Bruno and anybody else? Because when Dylan pulled out that envelope and said, "I have something to tell you guys," and he said "Final Four," you know, and he had to like read a speech to them, you saw all of them like holding each other's hands. You know that they thought that there was a chance that they were going to go back into the game.
Oh, at God. The
You know they did because Bruno was like, you know, you could go back and watch the tape. Go back and watch Netta and Bruno specifically. They really thought that there was a chance to go back into the game. And I'm so sad that my niece and my nephew are on the other side sleeping right now because I really want to scream to drag those two bitches for belt for thinking that they ever should have been involved in this end game. Robot.
I mean, you know, Rob himself said that he felt like there was going to be a buyback and that Netta was going to come back. So you have to imagine these people sitting in the jury house with nothing else to do. They're waiting for this. Any small sign. So I fully believe you, even though I didn't see it myself. I have a question from Mr. Robot Terran. Will Aika over campaign for Dimitris and turn off voters? I think they're already kind of turned off to Dimitris, but can Aika make a difference or will she just make things worse? What do you think, Melissa?
I don't think she'll make things worse because I think Aika's very good socially. So I don't really see her making things worse. I think she has a good read on people and can kind of see when things that she's saying are going in the wrong direction. So I don't think she's going to over campaign. I mean, I think she's probably going to campaign for him, but I don't think she's going to over campaign.
Yeah. And I don't think she's going to be spending much time with them anyway. I think, she'll be there for the round table. But apart from that, like she's not spending a ton of, you know, just day-to-day life with them, which I think is where a lot of that stuff happens. I think they usually come to the round table with their minds made up. And speaking of the roundtable, I don't know if either of you have seen this, but there was an interview, I think, with Tim. Is Tim going to be hosting the roundtable? I haven't seen this interview, but I've seen a lot of people asking about it. Brent, maybe you know if Tim is going to be hosting the roundtable. And let me know in the chat if that is in fact the case.
Well, that's what I've heard. I think that they said that they were looking for a Big Brother winner. And of course, you know, obviously he didn't win Big Brother Canada, but he won Big Brother Australia. So I've heard that he's going to be the roundtable person. I don't know if he's the best choice. But on the other hand, the two people that he knows, you know, Cass and Dallas were already out of the game a long time ago. So, you know, he doesn't know any of these people. And he's somebody that Big Brother Canada also has a good relationship with.
Yeah, I think the idea that you want a winner is I'm not really on board with like, oh, he won Australian Survivors, right, therefore he counts as a winner. But I don't think it necessarily needs to be a winner, you know, so I'm not that upset about it. I think better that it's a charismatic, entertaining person than it is, you know, like strictly
Ian Terry. A winner. Oh, hi. What? I didn't say anything. Love you, Ian.
But
I kind of wish they would have Tim and then a co-host or something, so that way Tim could do like the funny quips and the funny Timisms, and then have someone actually like come in with the hard-hitting questions, because I don't really see Tim making or having any like hard-hitting, you know, strategy questions. I kind of just see him joking around and being goofy.
He'll be like talking about their philosophies on life and like
it's like crazy stuff.
So how do you feel about Karen as a person?
I feel like they missed an opportunity because they could have had Tim and Nikki. You know, I feel like Tim and Nikki coming into a round table, that would have been a blast. Like, and the jury would have had a good time. And Tim would have, you know, he could have been funny, you know, but on the other hand, Nikki's not going to really give Melissa what she wants, which is the hard hitting questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want those hard hitting questions.
and Luna in the chat says what I think I've been thinking as well. I feel like if anybody is going to make a case for Karen to win the game, it's going to be Tim. And I could easily see him just like totally disregarding the rules about hosting and just like all out, just like trying to do everything in his power to get them to vote for Karen in the end.
I said a long time ago that the best thing that Karen can do outside of what we've been saying or what I've been saying to try to get herself a win at the end of the game is to get the audience behind her, because the jury's going to be in the room, you know, with the audience like we were for the Big Brother taping, and they're going, the audience is going to be responding. So if Karen gets the audience on her side and says, hey, you know, and you know, throws it through F bombs here and there, I feel like there's a good chance she might be able to flip a vote or two. And based on what I saw on the jury roundtable, she might need to be able to flip a vote or two, because it appears that Jackie is clearly in Kevin's corner at this point. She's obviously been hanging out with Bruno too much, but she doesn't really want Karen to win the game. So she wants Kevin to win the game, even over somebody like Dimitri's. And I will also say, because Twitter was asking about this and they asked me to drag the Big Brother contestants about it, I think it's a travesty that we don't get to see like Aika at the end versus Kevin, or Aika versus Dimitri's, because I think it would be, or even Dimitri's versus Kevin, because the bitter jurors would show up. Like, I feel like they would be there. And I feel like now that it's like, you know, if we think what happens is going to happen, meaning that either Kevin's going to win or Dimitri's is going to win, then the jury vote is really just a formality at this point. And there's no real chance for anybody to be the quote unquote bitter juror. And I feel like there were a few possibilities based on what I was seeing from the inside of the jury videos.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aika Kevin would have been the best final two. Aika Dimitri's would have been good too, but I think at that point there's no real contention. I don't think they would have been as bitter about it. You know what I mean? Like, because it's even if you're bitter against Aika and vote for Dimitri's, it's like it's one
like
and
the same. Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're missing out. I mean, granted, I do think that our fantasy of Kevin and Karen in the final two, if that comes to fruition, I think that's pretty fun. But I think Kevin Aika would have been probably more fun. And I agree, Brent, I think that if Karen is talking strategy in her final two speech and she's saying, here are the things I did, and the crowd cheers on that, I think the jury might actually start to go, okay, maybe we need to think about this. If she's just hurling insults and making the crowd laugh, I'm not sure that's going to do much.
I agree. It has to be together. I will say this, that based on the way, you know, Modern Big Brother happens, you basically get like 30 seconds to a minute, if that, to give your, you know, to give your speech. Sometimes you don't even get to give an ending speech. So basically what you have to do as a Big Brother contestant nowadays is to have a quick outline of what you want to say initially, and then what else you want to say, you basically have to weave it into the rest of your questions. I mean, basically, no matter what the jury asks, you need to find a way to get to the points that you need to make. And if Karen can find a way to do that, she could give Kevin a run for his money. That's what I'm saying.
All right. I guess, you know, right, we'll wrap this show up, but there is one more bit of spoilers that we can talk about, so we'll move into spoilers right now. It's just one, we know who won the first part of the final HOH. That was spoiled along with the fact that Aika was evicted, so if you don't want those spoilers, you can cut out right now. We're going to be live talking about the finale tomorrow night. It's going to be great. I'm still going to be in London, but it'll still be great.
Reminder to everybody that Big Brother Canada tapes all of their episodes, including the finale. So you're going to start seeing spoilers for the finale start trickling out onto Twitter after about 4:30 or 5 o'clock. So if you don't want to be spoiled as to who won the game, don't look at Twitter.
Yeah, you have to completely turn Twitter off.
I have to turn it off.
Yeah, like from like 3 o'clock, just turn it completely off, and don't even look at it, because even if you think that you're just like muting the people who are spoiling things, people are going to be talking about it. You're going to see reactions and you're going to read into that. There's no way to avoid it, especially because everybody's going to be talking about it.
People have done it before where they've tagged me and then spoiled something, and so I get an alert on my phone even if I'm not even looking at Twitter. So don't tag me in anything and spoil anything for me, guys, please.
Yes. Yeah, if you see somebody like Shay, who is a big Kevin fan and you see that she has like the sad emoji, that's probably a bad sign for Kevin. Yeah.
Yes. All right. So we're going to talk about these spoilers. It was revealed by Hamster Watch that Dimitri's won the first part of the final HOH competition. Yes. Yes. So, you know, not too much of a surprise. I think this one's usually physical, yeah. And Dimitri's is obviously much more physical than Kevin. Who knows? Is there a scenario? I'm seeing in the chat that there are some very unconfirmed rumors that maybe Karen beat Kevin in the final seems very unlikely.
Unless you hear it from Hamster Watch, it's not true. By the way, what was I going to say here? I had a point. I lost it. What was I going to say, Brent? I forget. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Never mind. Sorry, I lost it. It'll come back to me.
Yeah. So it seems as though Kevin is probably going to win the second part of the final HOH. And then we will see the showdown between Dimitri's and Kevin in the final part. I've got to say, I think this is as exciting as it can be. Like, at least there is some intrigue. Oh. I feel like last season, just to finish up this point really quickly, it was kind of like, as soon as you knew Tim hadn't won, it was like, well, who cares? But this is like, this is a showdown, and we're going to see, you know, between the two of them, who's going to win that final part. I think it's going to be, if you don't get spoiled, I think it's going to be intense to watch that that final part. So, Brent, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, because my stream was cutting out tonight, and I don't even know if Melissa knows this, but apparently Dimitri's timed out of his veto. So Kevin finished. What happened with Aika? And can you please tell me the times?
I don't think they revealed Aika's time.
Yeah, apparently they didn't reveal the times. They just revealed Kevin's time, which was like 19 minutes or something. Yeah. And Dimitri's timed out.
Yeah, so
that sucks. So we don't even know how good Aika and Karen did.
I know, I wanted to know how Aika did, especially because Aika and Kevin, they messed up on the same part in the end, and they were both stuck on that whole triple eviction one. I wanted to know who got it and what time, if she was close or not.
Yeah, I have been shade on Trevor Boris a little bit for some reused comps here and there, but I will give major props. Probably one of my most favorite Final Four vetoes ever, visually speaking. It really was something to behold. I mean, I can't, whoever thought of this was just like, they were blowing my mind with this. So total props to him, and really great job.
It was great.
Yeah. So I'm seeing in the chat that Aika said around 35 minutes she finished. Dimitri's timed out at about 45 minutes. And Karen also did finish. So Dimitri's came in last in that competition.
That's crazy.
Karen even beat him, which is very crazy. Hopefully it's not a sign of what's to come in that final HOH part. But there it is. That is our Wednesday episode. We will be back tomorrow night to talk about the finale. It's going to be very exciting, I hope. Let me know if you have any ideas for a hashtag in the chat. Either of you, if you have any ideas. And Lita and I are talking about Team Ninja Warrior. I haven't been able to release the podcast that we recorded live in Toronto yet, but hopefully soon. I am in London. Brent is still talking about the drag race. And like I said, you just had Lita on the podcast. I listened for the first time. I listened to that the dragging. It was great. It was amazing. People should be listening to this.
It was really great. I will say that I loved Mike Bloom's read of Lita, because it was a two for one. It was a twofer. It was a read on Lita, and it was a read on Taryn at the same time. When they were, I think he was talking about the low listenership of American Ninja Warrior, which is not totally true. You guys do great, but it was very fun. Lita read me for Phil. So if you guys want to hear that, go to RuPaul's Drag Race. It was episode 8, and go about to the 19 minute point, I think, and you can hear her just tear me to shreds. It was very fun.
Yeah, it was very fun to listen to. All right, so I'm seeing hashtag soft spoken Brent, which I think is very appropriate. And so many people were like, oh my god, this is the creepiest.
And it's very uncomfortable for me too, and I really don't like talking like this, because I just feel like this is like, you guys don't want to listen to this person. I hear myself talking right now, and I'm no fun at all. Like, I mean, like,
it sounds like contained rage. It's like you're a serial killer just boiling over with like, yes, oh man,
yeah, I'm coming to London right now.
Negotiation 101. You speak softer and lower than your opponent.
All right, so you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay, and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. We'll probably not tweeting about the finale because I am going to try to avoid spoilers if I can. Even though I might have a heart attack watching that final part of the HOH. But for Brent and Melissa, I am Taren Armstrong. #SoftspokenBrent. We will see you next time.